In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today in the Eastern Church, believers traditionally greet one another with the joyful cry, Christos Anesti, Christ is risen. And the response is, Alethos Anesti, truly he is risen. In the Western Church, too, we rejoice after the high drama of the reading of the Passion and the solemn veneration of a cross on Good Friday, and the quiet, almost unearthly stillness of Holy Saturday. Last night at the Easter Vigil, the statues and crosses were uncovered, the candles on the altar were lit again, and all the church bells rang out as throughout the whole world, the church lifted her voice in exultation to join in the great angelic hymn of praise, Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax hominibus bona voluntatis. And now, in the first light of Easter, we begin to contemplate with unbelievable joy the wonder of the resurrection. The only begotten Son of God came into our world to liberate us from sin and death, to heal our wounded nature, and to invite us to share in the love and peace of his eternal kingdom. Jesus did not come to perform miracles like the tricks of Pharaoh's magicians. He did not come to give us everything we want, to make us all millionaires, or to heal our diseases and sufferings. The miracles that he did perform were met as signs of faith in the infinite love and mercy of Almighty God, and as examples for us to help us grow in faith and in compassion and in the love of truth. But Jesus' life on earth was bounded by two great miracles, two incomprehensible mysteries. The first was the incarnation, when the Son of God assumed a robe of flesh and blood. The infinite became finite, the immortal became mortal, the divine became human. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to seize or hold on to. Instead, he emptied himself and took on human form and human weakness, becoming subject to death, even death on a cross. But that was not the end, for death could not contain him. And this is the second great incomprehensible miracle, his resurrection. In the lovely words of our Easter sequence, life and death contended in a wondrous battle. The Prince of Life who died now lives and reigns. Then the church turns to Mary Magdalene, to whom he first appeared, and asks, tell us, Mary, what did you see on the way? And she replies, I saw the tomb of Christ now living and the glory of the risen one, the angelic witnesses, the napkin and the linen clothes. Christ, my hope, has arisen. He will go before you into Galilee. We can understand Galilee literally because Jesus did appear to his disciples there on a mountaintop and by the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, as well as in various other places after his resurrection. But the wonderful medieval commentary, The Golden Legend, tells us that going before into Galilee is also to be understood in a figurative sense, as meaning a transmigration or going across. Jesus, by his resurrection, went ahead into Galilee because he crossed from death into life, from suffering into glory, from corruption to incorruption, from mortality into immortality. And he did not make that journey for himself alone, but for each one of us as well. Through our faith in his resurrection, by the power of the sacraments of the church, and by our corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we too can share in his victory and make that same passage through death into everlasting life. And so on this most beautiful and most joyful day, as we celebrate the dawn of our salvation, the vindication of all our sufferings, and the realization of our deepest hopes, may our hearts be filled with cries of gladness in praise to Christ our Redeemer, in the words of that ancient Christian hymn. Welcome, happy morning, age to age shall say, hell today is vanquished, heaven is won today. Lo, the dead is living, God forevermore. Him, their true creator, all his works adore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.